this next passage that we're looking in, starting at the end of Acts 15 and going into Acts chapter 16. And I'd like to give you a passage of scripture to be thinking about as we read this passage in Acts. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is kind of the lens I want you to be looking at this passage with. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, says this. I want you to get this in your mind first before we do anything else. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I want you to hang on to that, because here's what it's basically saying in a nutshell. God has given us this amazing light. He's given us this amazing opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with the entire world. He's given us this incredible message. He's given us this incredible power, this incredible thing that we can share with the world. But he's given us this incredible message, this incredible power in jars of clay. We're the jars of clay. He placed that light inside of us, that Holy Spirit inside of us, but that light, now, as powerful as it is still within a broken vessel. I am a broken vessel. You are a broken vessel. We're all broken vessels in some shape or form. We're earthen vessels. We don't have anything that's real pretty about us. We're pretty plain. We make mistakes. We've got flaws. We've got all kinds of things that aren't attractive, but the light that God places within us, the message that he gives us, the gospel message, is what's attractive. And so we have to make sure that when we're presenting the message, we're presenting the light and not ourselves in what we're doing. Because if we attract people to ourselves, if we're trying to do that, it's not going to go well. We need to attract them to the light of the knowledge of Christ and the power that is in God. So that's important as we get into Acts chapter 15. I'm going to start with the end of chapter 15 of Acts and get into chapter 16, because I think they're all kind of interrelated here. So Acts beginning at verse 36, chapter 15 beginning at verse 36. Remember that Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem. They got the council, the disciples, to meet on this issue of circumcision. And they said, you don't have to be circumcised, but you need to make sure that you don't eat meat that is strangled, meat that has blood in it, stay away from sexual immorality, and there's another one that I can't remember right now. There's four of them, four things that they said to him. I can't remember the other one. So they went back to Antioch, and they shared this great news with all the Gentile believers, and that was a great thing. And so they stayed there, and they're preaching in Antioch and encouraging the different believers that were in Antioch, and it says in verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the word. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, I love Scripture because Scripture doesn't make everything look all rosy and clean and nice and beautiful, because it's not. Ministry is not clean and beautiful and rosy and perfect and everyone gets along and sings kumbaya every night and we all join hands. It's not like that. And you know what? It would be almost discouraging to pastors and churches around the world if they presented it in such a way in the Gospels and in the God's Word that everything was perfect, that everyone got along and everyone smiled and they were best buddies and went out for dinner with everybody. And it would be very discouraging, because that's not reality, is it? It's not. You see, wherever there are people, there are going to be problems. I've heard it so many times, ministry would be so wonderful if it wasn't for the people. But it's true, because we're broken, earthly vessels. We've got the light of Christ, but we're broken in some way, shape, or form. And here's one of just the examples of what goes on in ministry. You see, Paul and Barnabas have been working together for years. They've been sharing this ministry. They've been having great success. People were coming to Christ. They were having a huge impact as Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul, you know, the bold one and the wise one, and working together. And here they come to a disagreement over one young man named Mark. And we talked about him before. Remember, he started with them on the very first missionary journey, and he got scared after the first town, or something happened. We don't know what, but he decided to turn back. And Paul didn't like it. And so when they're getting ready to go on the second missionary journey, Barnabas, who is actually Mark's cousin, wanted to take him along. He wanted to encourage him, because that's what Barnabas did. He encouraged people. He wanted to lift them back up and say, hey, you're not a failure. But Paul said, no, I'm not taking them. Now, we later find out that Paul made a mistake. Maybe he made a mistake. I don't know. I have a hard time with this, because maybe that's exactly what needed to happen at this point in the ministry. Maybe it was time for Paul and Barnabas to go separate ways. Maybe it was time that God was going to spread the gospel in different ways through them as the gifts that they have given to them. And maybe just God used Mark in order to get them separated, because maybe they would have kept going on forever and not being as effective as they were. And sometimes God uses leaders and makes mistakes in them in order to help the gospel, in order to advance things. Can I give you a quick example? My wife is going to kill me. She left, didn't she? She's not here, right? Okay, she stepped out. She just loves it when I do this. I probably should ask permission, but it's easier to ask for forgiveness later sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So when we got married, Kathy and I, when we got married, 30 years ago now, 30 years we've been married. Whew, my stomach grumbled at that. 30 years we've been married. And when we got married, we went to the pastor of the Lutheran Church in Princeton, Bennett. I probably shouldn't say names. Pastor Bennett. Anyway, we went to, she's coming back. I just saw her. So we went through the whole marriage counseling and stuff with Pastor Bennett and things, and it was not, she's shaking her head. She's going, oh, boy. It was not the most pleasant experience of marriage counseling. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I don't know, how was yours? Was yours good, Laura? It was okay? All right, ours was not pleasant. We were very young and getting married, and he did not approve and didn't think it was right, and he basically told us, the only reason I'm doing the wedding is because you have three sisters that are going to be getting married the next year and a half, and I want to be able to do those weddings, because he knew all you guys, and he didn't know who I was hardly at all. I was off to college when he came, and he told us flat out, I'm just going to tell you, he told us flat out, you guys won't make it 5 years. Was it even 5 years? 6 months. he flat out said that to me. That's just wrong. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That was just wrong. And I tell you what, when I do premarital counseling now, I tell almost every couple that I premarital counsel, I tell them that story. I say, you know what? I want to encourage you. I want to be an encouragement to you in your relationship and who you are and where you're going. Yes, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I want to encourage you in your relationship. And I think back on that now, and he said the exact right thing to me. He really did. It was wrong. He should not have said it. But all he did was set my heels in. You know what I'm saying? Because he said I wasn't going to last 6 months. I was thinking it was 5 years. I was giving us the benefit of the doubt. But he says we weren't going to last. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to last just to spite you. As a matter of fact, this is true. This is true. I sent him anniversary cards. On my anniversary. For the first 10 years. So it wasn't right, he shouldn't have done it, but it was probably the right thing. Because I love you. And honestly, those first 6 months, 5 years, I was a jerk. Still am. But sometimes that might have been the only thing that kept me going. Not because my wife was bad or anything like that. She's wonderful. She's fantastic. It was me. I didn't have Christ in my life. I was a jerk, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I had a history of cutting and running pretty quick. And him saying that probably stuck, I know it stuck in my head because I'm talking about it 30 years later. So when Paul and Barnabas has this disagreement, and Paul was wrong, maybe he was right. Because Mark witnessed two men who loved each other, served with each other, cared for each other deeply, see a disagreement so heated that two great friends, two partners in ministry, split. Now, if I was young Mark, that would have made a pretty big impact on me, that Barnabas loved me so much and believed in me so much that he was willing to do that for me. I'm going to take everything he says, everywhere he goes, whatever he tells me to do, very, very seriously. And he did. Mark became an amazing gospel light. He gave us the book of Mark. What's really, he hung out with Peter and he listened to every word of Peter and he started writing down Peter's account. Basically, the book of Mark is Peter's perspective of the gospel accounts. As a matter of fact, Paul later on said, Mark is so dear to me in my ministry, please send him back. You see, there was reconciliation. We don't hear about it. They don't say, hey, we sat down and had a cup of coffee together and had a donut and we worked everything out and it's all good now. We don't get that story, but we know that it happened in some way, shape, or form because later on Paul says, oh my goodness, Barnabas and Mark are so dear to me in my ministry. They're the only ones who can comfort me at this time. So I say all that because we're going to have disagreements. If you hang around with me very long... Rob's smiling big right now. If you hang around with me very long, I'm going to make you mad, okay? I'm going to say something, do something, whatever, that you're just not going to agree with. And you know what? I think the same can be said about everyone in this room. You hang around with them long enough, and something's going to happen. You're not going to agree on 100% of everything that you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing it and where you're going and what you're doing. Part of ministry, as part of working with these earthen vessels that has been placed the light of God in. And it's okay. The thing is, we can't harbor that bitterness. We can't hang on to that anger. We have to understand that it's okay to disagree on certain things. It's okay to have a parting of the ways, but still have love and grace and mercy towards one another, because it's the same thing that he tells us. He says, if you forgive anyone, you're forgiven. It's part of ministry. Understand it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't pick up your jacks and go home. Say it's okay. We can work in different areas and still be effective and allow the light shine for Christ, because it's not about you and what you want or what me or what I want. It's about him and his plans and his design for the ministries that he has called us to. Does that make sense? So we go on in Acts chapter 16. So we got the parting of the ways between Barnabas and Paul. And Paul takes Silas, who we know is a prophet, and came with him to Antioch from Jerusalem to be an encouragement. So Paul takes Silas, and they go on their way. We get to Acts chapter 16. It says they came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and believer, but whose father was a Greek. And the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. It just cracks me up. So he circumcised him, because of the Jews who lived in that area. Now Acts chapter 15, I already talked about this a little bit. We just went through this whole circumcision thing. Paul and Barnabas and these people went to Jerusalem to get this decision about circumcision, whether it's necessary or not necessary, and all this big argument arose within the church at that point in time, and they said, no, circumcision is not necessary for salvation. No, you don't have to get this done. So Paul comes back, and just a very short time later, he's got this young man named Timothy who's half Jewish and who's half Greek, and before he takes him on this missionary journey, he circumcises him. Now this is no small thing. This young man is probably in his early to mid to late teens already. And circumcision at that point in time hurts. There's no anesthetic. You can't get me drunk enough to not notice that. You know what I'm saying? And so for Timothy to be willing to be circumcised, to go on this missionary journey is a huge thing. You think a huge thing for Timothy? Yeah. No. It's really a huge thing for us. Because it's telling us something really important about ministry that we've got to understand and we've got to get in our minds. And we've got to get not just in our minds, we've got it in our hearts. We have to understand that when we go into ministry, and I'm not talking about full-time ministry, I'm talking about every single one of you who has been called to ministry, and every single one of you have been called to ministry, because we are a priest to the believers. It's not the pastors who do ministry. It's the people within the church, every one of you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a minister of the gospel. And God has called you to a ministry. And God, in the midst of that calling, says there's certain things in our lives that we need to lay aside in order to be more effective for the gospel. It has nothing to do with my salvation. And that's what's going on here. This circumcision had nothing to do with Timothy's salvation. This had everything to do with Timothy's being effectiveness, his effectiveness in ministry to the people that he was going to go and minister to. You see, if he went in as a believer to the Jewish people and they knew that he was part Jew and was not circumcised, all of a sudden he has put this great big old stumbling block right in the middle of everything that he says and everything that he does. Every action is going to be judged through this stumbling block, through the Jews' minds of saying, well, he's part Jew and he didn't get circumcised. He's not real. And so what Paul was doing, he's getting rid of the stumbling block for the ministry of Timothy. He was getting rid of that stumbling block. And you know what? A lot of us have stumbling blocks in our lives that are keeping us from being effective to reaching the people that God has called us to reach. I'm trying to think of a really good example now, and it is just not there. Someone help me out. Anger? You tell me I gotta get rid of my anger? Because it's messing with my effectiveness? How dare you say that? No, I'm... Yeah. Anger. It's kind of hard to present the gospel in an angry manner. It's kind of hard to harbor anger and be an effective tool for the gospel message. It could be a habit that we've got in our lives. Something that we're doing that's hindering people from actually hearing what we're saying. Not only could it be a habit, I wrote something else down, but I can't remember what it was because it was really interesting. You know what? I didn't write it down. I intended to write it down. I wrote a 2, but I didn't write it down. It's not just getting rid of things. It's, wow, it was really good too. I mean, I was amazed that that thought came through my head. Maybe I'll remember it by next week. Anyway, so there's stumbling blocks that are in our lives that we need to get rid of. I think there's other things that we need to add to our lives. Maybe that was it. Maybe we need to add to our lives some things that will allow us to be more effective into the places that we're going. Like, oh, yeah, I remember what it was. It was this whole idea of when we go into a different culture, like, we got to, missionaries, when they go into the culture, they'll dress like the people who are a part of that culture. You know what I'm saying? Because if you stick out like a sore thumb, a lot of times you're not going to be able to be effective in the culture that you're in. Or sometimes you'll have to take on the customs of the culture that you're a part of. Paul says this very plainly. How does he say it? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's take a look at that real quick. Maybe I'll refresh my memory here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Oh, yeah. This is it. I love this. This is cool. It's not a whole lot of fun, but it's cool. This is what Paul says, and there's this whole thing about the rights of the apostles. He's talking about receiving finances and having the freedom, and this is what Paul says. He says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Did you hear that? Though I am free, I can do whatever I want, go wherever I want, and I belong to no man. No one has a right to say this, that, or I should be doing this or that or anything like that. He says, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Did you hear that? I think that's an attitude that we're missing in a lot of different ways within the church and within our ministries. I become all things to all men so that I might save some. You know, we can have this attitude, hey, I can do whatever I want. I can be whoever I want. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, you can. You've got that freedom in Christ. But is that freedom benefiting you? And if it's just benefiting you, do you really belong to Christ? Because when we come to Christ, we are in Him. And we lose our life for Him. So we are to live our lives for Him. That freedom we have is fantastic. But we have to understand He gave us that freedom so that we can share the message with all people, because Christ died for all men. Got it? Give me a yes. Very good. We can talk about it later if you don't. Here's the last part in Acts chapter 16. I'm going to be done. We're not going to go any further. Acts chapter 16. I just got to get this in here because it's going to be really quick. So they go from place to place with Timothy, and verse 6 says, Paul and his companions traveled through the region. I should look at my cheat sheet. Where is it at? Just tell me, Sarah. Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bethany, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, now it just got me flustered. Whoop! Can we just call that place Ohio? All right, so they tried to enter Ohio, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Ohio and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing out begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here's something really important you got to recognize about ministry. Number one, ministry is going to get messy because it's dealing with people. Number two, we have freedom in Christ, and you need to use that freedom not to be a stumbling block, but to get rid of the stumbling blocks so the message of Christ will go out there. Number three part of ministry that you got to understand right here and right now is move. Just move. Stop sitting still, waiting for the whole plan to be laid out for you, because if you're waiting for the whole plan to be laid out for you and what God has intended for your ministry, you're never going to get anywhere. Take a step. East, west, north, south, take a step. That's what Paul's saying. You know what? God is big enough. I love this. He's big enough to stop you. He's big enough to stop you. Get rid of the stumbling blocks. Recognize you're going to have to be filled with grace as you're on the journey, but take a step and start moving. Because so many people are sitting back saying, well, I'm just not sure about what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go. Take a step in a direction. God is more than able to say no. Right here, he says it very plainly. The Spirit of God kept them from going here, and so they started going all this way. And the Spirit of God, of Jesus, which is the same Spirit of God, says, no, you're not going that direction either. So they sat there and said, okay, well, maybe we'll go this direction. And it opened up, and they had a dream. And they move, and God will direct your steps. You don't have to have the whole thing. There's a couple passages that kind of really shares this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. I know some of you already have it memorized. I'm not that good. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says this. It says, in his heart, a man plans his course. Absolutely. Make plans, make decisions, make ideas, have a dream, set goals, make plans. It says, in the heart, a man makes his plans, but the Lord determines his steps. You see, God's still in control. Make big plans. Start making steps. Start taking the steps of faith that you need to make. But you recognize that God can stop, or he can hurry you along, or he can slow you down. You know what? If it was my plan, the rock would be built by now. We would be playing basketball in it this afternoon. I'm telling you, that's my heart. If someone would give me a backhoe and the finances to put, I would start, I don't even know how to run a backhoe, but I would start tearing up dirt this afternoon. It would be the biggest mess you'd ever see, but I would start moving now. That's not his plan. We're going to go slower, evidently. I'd love for him to step on the gas, but it's not his plan. Or maybe it is, and we just haven't got there yet. We need to step forward. If he's going to stop it, he'll stop it. And same thing with your individual ministries. Man, if you want to meet at the restaurant and pray, pray. If you need to go out and invite your neighbor to church, go out. On the way there, he can trip you. You can fall and go to the emergency room and not get there. It's okay. But take a step. Find out if you can make it all the way to the door. You might get all the way to the door, and all of a sudden your finger breaks and you can't hit the doorknob. It's okay. But go and try. See what God is going to do. He's more than capable of stopping you. He's got this. You know, the thing about Acts is it's not perfect. It's not pretty. It's not spit-shined. It's not the perfect story with everyone, you know, fa-la-la-la, and truly, it's all great, it's all good. But it's God's story with broken people. And God used broken people to get us to where we're at today, and God is going to use broken people to take us to where he's going tomorrow and the next day. He's going to use broken people, these jars of clay, to advance his kingdom in such a way that he, not us, he will receive all the praise and the glory. You are one of those broken vessels, and he wants to use you. I hate the word use you. He wants to utilize you to the fullest of his ability. And his fullest ability is unlimited, working through you. God is good, amen? Don't be afraid this week. Take a step, set a direction, move out, try something. You know what? As you try and move, it's going to get messy. People are going to step on your toes. You're going to step on other people's toes. Walk in full grace and mercy as you move out in ministry. Recognize that you have things that are in your life and in other people's lives that are going to be stumbling blocks that need to be dealt with. Do it with grace and with mercy. Allow the love of Christ to shine through these earthen vessels. His light, not ours. Okay? I'm done.